And we will not be remiss or sad that we held to the truths of God's Word. Once you, it's like identity politics, once you start going by that, there is no end. There is no bottom to identity politics. You're going to simply go further and further and further. And so when you jettison God's Word and start making up your own rules by culture, that's why the Word of God is our rock. It's our steadfastness. It's the rock in which we live and move and have our being. That is the Word of God. We're right to 2 Peter chapter 3, starting about verse 5. We're really going to start, really verse 7 is going to be our main, we'll start there. But we'll start at verse 5. Get the context. For this they willingly are ignorant of. If you're listening online, we are in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 through verse 9. 8 or 9, we'll be in that tonight. So if you want to welcome you this evening, if you're listening, a live stream or later on down the road. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. May the Lord have His blessing to the reading of His Word. And that is a wonderful passage there. So God's Word is true. God's work is consistent. And we found the examples there in the flood in Noah's day. Where did all the vast fossil beds come from? And we know it's evidence of the worldwide global flood. It clearly is so seen there. So if you believe in uniformitarianism, that everything has continued from the beginning of creation until now, that does not allow for a worldwide cleansing flood. I was reading someone today and they said the only thing he would have said, if he had been God before the flood, he'd have drowned everybody. Not just everybody, but he'd have drowned everybody because he'd be upset, so upset with everybody on earth. But he did not. He saved because Noah found grace. I think that's the first time the word grace is used in Scripture. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, do we find an abundance of transitional forms in the fossil record? Do you know what transitional forms are? We're changing from men to monkeys, etc., or from a cat to a baboon, or etc., etc., etc. No, we don't find any of those. And I was just thinking today that if we really have had millions, at least 2 million to 3 million years of human inhabitants alone, if you go out to your garden, every time you put the plow down, you should be piling up some bones somewhere. If we've really had that many people die for 2 or 3 million years, there should be bone deposits every single spot you go to almost, shouldn't there be? I think there should be. It's just another proof of I'm a young earth person. I'm going to be that way till the day. You cannot say anything or prove anything, or you can't go to Scripture for sure and prove an old earth. Scripture is saliently clear, if I use there, apodictically clear, I really believe, of a young earth. If you take Scripture, read it for what it says it is, and the timeline, etc. Now, there are three basic things needed for fossilization. Number one is water. I know you're thinking, get old. In the right proportion. Second is right chemicals. And third is a quick burial. We need water, the right chemicals, and a quick burial. And that's how we have the fossilization of whatever, all these different animals you see, all these little amoeba things. And there's one thing happening, event in Earth's history, that accounts for all those. The flood. Real quick. Right chemicals, a lot of water. So, flood traditions, and somewhat similar to flood recorded in Genesis, have been found among almost all nations and tribes on the earth. The genuine facts of science and history thoroughly support the biblical account of the flood. While only willful ignorance can warrant the evolutionary interpretation of these evidences, and Peter said it would be so in the last days, they are willingly ignorant. If you take just the two basic laws of thermodynamics, that there's nothing new now being created or destroyed, and everything is increasing entropy, we are all running down. Those two universal and best proved laws of science prove against evolution. Evolution is just the opposite. We are continuing to grow in our complexity and wiseness. We've gone from nothing to a big bang to a little bit of energy here. And by the way, you can't get life out of non-life. It just can't be done. And yet, the whole premise of evolutionary thought, we have heard it so long that the world just accepts it. Have you not seen in our last 30 years how we have been inundated with the idea of same sex is okay? How so many in the world believe, well, that's just the way it is. And matter of fact, if you don't believe it now, you are bigoted, you are anti-whatever you are, because you have not joined on with what we've heard it so often. We've heard it so often that I started to like this. And well, I believe it's true now. Instead of, let's just take a step back here. What does the Bible say? What does truth say about this? What is the truth? If you give an 8-year-old child hormone blockers and change him from one kind of thing from one sex to, what's the truth about that is, you're going to have a lot of consequences. You're going to have young girls who will never be able to give birth to children. You're going to have people. And just recently, one of the ideas I just heard about again this week is they're going to start making the selling and cultivation of cannabis as part of a relief for the low-income people. So the idea is they want to start giving them the idea, then they can start selling and manufacturing cannabis to help them get out of their low-income status. And have you yet to look on the newspaper and seen what happens to towns when they sell out to cannabis raising? You know what happens to people when they come off the CBD oil, which is like 20, 30, 40 times more powerful than a joint? What happens to the people who come to hospitals? Uncontrollable. And yet we never hear one, maybe you have. Have you heard anything about that? You have to look for it, yes. The truth is still there. The long-term repercussions of all we're doing, if we just open our states to the selling of, we'll have such an influx. As a matter of fact, they're going to tax that cannabis that's going to be grown so the government can reap a windfall of that. That's the idea. It's the whirlwind of what we're reaping. Do we not see it? I believe you and I. He goes, Pastor Tim, we see it. We see it. Please find another subject. You mention that every single week. Shall we go on? We shall. The flood then was a cataclysm, coming from the word kataklysmos, not simply a catastrophe. Not sure why that extra S is there, but it's there for some reason. Peter's now established that God in the past has interrupted the course of history. God's work is consistent. Things now are not what they have always been. There has been a change, and God can do whatever He wants. It is His world. If He wants to stop for just a moment, if He wants to come back tonight and take the church out of here, we're going. That would be great, wouldn't it? Verse 7. Heavens of old. Look at verse 7, and it says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And by the way, the fire, if you think about it for just a moment, a flood would only cover the top part of the earth as far as cleansing, but a fire of the whole earth will cleanse out from. And where is Hades, by the way, right now? I believe it's in the center. If you keep going down far enough, you're going to run into Hades. So a fire that cleanses that. Now, before that fire, you know, they're going to all be off. We'll all be off the planet. The fire that's going to cleanse this. We're going to have a new earth afterwards. But it can burn all the impurities out. Burn them all out. So heavens and earth of old were destroyed by water, first blank. Secondly, heavens and earth now will be destroyed by fire, turning the page. Thirdly, new heavens and new earth will last forever. Oh, no, I like that. Lasting forever. Matter of fact, as the angel appeared unto Mary in Luke chapter 1, he says, Gabriel says to Mary in 1:31 of Luke, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the house, throne of his father David. Here we go. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, what? There shall be no end. That's the Savior. That's what's going to happen when he comes back to rule and to reign for 1,000 years. There'll be one more rebellion against him. He will overthrow that. The unbelievers will stand before God at the great white throne judgment. They'll be cast into a lake of fire. We, along with all the other believers, will go into the eternal state with God forever. And of his kingdom, there shall be no end. Who then is keeping the world in store? Of course, the first plan is God. Thus, it is God who will destroy the earth in His time and not before. We cannot, with Saddam Hussein can't do anything right now. He's in terrible punishment, I believe, most likely. But even the ruler of Iran cannot push a button and then ever destroy the world completely. God's going to do that when He is ready. Now, he may cause a lot of problems by blowing a missile up here, there, yon, but he cannot destroy the world because God has reserved that for himself. So Peter's proven his point. God is able to intervene in the course of history. The day of the Lord that was promised by the prophets and apostles as well as Jesus Christ will come just as surely as God spoke the world into existence and the flood of Noah's day. It's coming. Remember they've said, well, things continue as they have from the beginning and God's not intervened yet. We see nothing, so God's not going to intervene now. So we don't believe He's ever going to come back. No, He has intervened. The Noah's flood, you got this, that, and the other. Peter's proved his point. God intervenes when He wants to intervene. Matter of fact, at just the right time, Galatians 4:4, He sent the Savior into the world to redeem us. So scoffers, someone says, well, someone who treats lightly what ought to be taken seriously. Someone said of the ungodly, the ungodly man or woman is the one who has little time for God in their life. They have deceived themselves into believing that they can rule God out of the affairs, and they're thinking even though God is the greatest being in the universe, the one who makes sense out of life, the one around whom all the life revolves, and without whom no creature could even take a breath. To eliminate such a glorious being from one's thinking is what it means to be ungodly. And that is exactly what the different societies in America want to do right now. They want to rule out all allusions to God, become a very socialistic or become a very materialistic or anti-atheistic type society. And they've got all these things that simply are not true, but they're going to... But you say, well, why do they keep bringing them over and over? Because people, if they hear them long enough, they start, well, you know, maybe that is true. Maybe it's true. Been very successful. Very, very successful. It's interesting. We sometimes get discouraged. A pastor was preaching one time, and he got discouraged. He said, during one service, I was complaining to the Lord about the lack of attendance. Lord, attendance is just not what I'd like it to be. And I would say, you know, we want attendance. We'd like to see more people in church. The Lord's response was, my son, attendance is not what I'd like it to be in heaven either. He said, that was the last time I complained about attendance. Sometimes we think of only ourselves, do we not? How it's affecting me, how it's affecting my situation. The Lord is merciful. So God's will, thirdly, number is God's will is merciful. Scoffers not only were ignorant of what God had done in the past, verse 5, they were ignorant of what God is like, verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. Couple notes, man is immortal. A beginning but no ending. Now would you say the unsaved is immortal? Is the unsaved person, human being, immortal? Yeah. Yes. They're going to live forever somewhere. Now it's not going to be a happy immortality, but they're going to live somewhere. We are immortal, are we not? Now, but what we are not is the second one. God is eternal. God always has been. Is now, always will be. He is outside of time. He gave us time, but He does not need time. He's outside all that. That's part of what He has created. He's outside of that. He sees everything at once. He lives in eternal presence, someone has said. So eternity is not just extended time, but rather it's existence above and apart from time. He is eternal. We are immortal. Now we have been given, as receiving Christ, for God so loved the world, He gave him, you know, whoever believes in Him shall have everlasting life. We have that. Even now. You have everlasting life now. It's not, and I was just talking with a gentleman this week, different times. And he was saying that we are a work in progress, and I understand where he's coming from. And but I believe the Bible would say to us that we can know for sure right now that we are God's children. That we have, the Bible says that once you receive Christ as personal Savior, we are on our way to heaven. It's as if we were already seated in the heavenlies. And so we can have that confidence, I believe, that we are His children even now. Have eternal life. So 2 Peter 3:8, as in Psalm 90 verse 4, we find the principle that God is outside of time. He is never in a hurry. He is never late. Think about this. We will always have enough time to do God's will for the day ahead of our lives. What God wants us to do, we are going to have enough time. So if I'm finding myself staying up 24/7 trying to get everything done, I've obviously added a lot of things to my life that God had not intended for me to add. Someone has said, not so in haste my heart, have faith in God and wait. Although He linger long, He never comes too late. He never cometh late. He knoweth what is best. Vex not thyself in vain until He cometh rest. Until he cometh, rest, not grudge the hours that roll. The feet that wait for God are soonest at the goal. Are soonest at the goal that is not gained with speed. Then hold thee still, my heart, for I shall wait his lead. And sometimes it's if we'll just wait and wait and trust him that he knows what is best instead of running ahead and wait for his hand. Instead of running ahead, it's when we're walking and he walks with me and talks with me. And he came to the Garden of Eden and he walked and talked with Adam. It wasn't like, hey, Adam, slow down, or Eve, hurry up. It's like a walk, I think, in fellowship. And that's what he wants to do with us as we follow and understand and believe that his plan, God's way, is the best way. That should be our desire. This 1,000 years, now folks have gotten a little bit sideways. I would think somebody with this 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. Oh, then Pastor Tim, if we have 1,000 years in one day, and one day is 1,000 years, then we can have the days of creation be so long that we can fit in the geologic columns into the 6 days of creation, and we can have theistic evolution, and the Bible scriptures can go hand in hand off into eternity, off into the world. Not so. He is not saying, he was just using, what he's saying is God's outside of time. We think in terms of, wow, how long you been, Steve, you've been alive, you've been on earth 60 years. Wow. I'm just a few months behind you. That's a long time, 60 years. And the 60 years to God is like, not, he's outside of all that. And so, please don't take this day as 1,000 years and somehow get really misconstrued into being, well, I can then somehow agree with or say that it harmonizes with Scripture with theistic evolution, or at least be a concept for an age of an old earth. Science has never disproved one word of the Bible. Simply saying that the day, by the way, you must have a definition of day in the first place, before you ever have something to compare it with. You must have a definition of what 1,000 years is to have to even be able to compare it with day. So don't come along and try to use that out of context and out of the true logical thinking and say, well, now these days of the creation week were just long periods of time. You can't support that even scientifically, because if you have thousands or million years long days, there are things that happen on day 4 that wait and had to be done on day 3, and day 3 things had to wait for day, and it has to go in sequence. So the animals were 6,000 years on earth before Adam, or 5,000 years on earth, or at least 2,000 or 3,000 years on earth before Adam even named them, or was over control of them, or wasn't he supposed to mind the garden? Wasn't he supposed to be over control, dominion over? Yes, he was given the dominion. And they're going to be like 2 or 3. Can you imagine? 2,000 years of lions. By the way, it was just put forth this week, I believe it was, that you could no longer hold and have a lion or a tiger as a personal pet. That was by Congress that put that forth, I believe it was. You can no longer have that. Or that's one of the bills coming up to Congress. You can no longer have lions and tigers as personal pets at your home. That comes from that, probably that show. There was that tiger somebody, whatever his name was, never watched it. But that guy had the tiger show. 1,000 years as one day. Scoffers are going to say, listen, that's what we're going to use. And this is, it views really, this is just simply talking about God is outside of time. Spurgeon said, this was, with the Lord one day is 1,000 years. What does it mean? This guy says Spurgeon had it correct when he observes that God can make a single day as useful in his purpose as it would take us 1,000 years to produce. God is outside of that. He's not constrained by that. He is God. We are not. It's interesting, it says, that as speculation may be, Peter does not say that 1,000 years equal one day, but rather are like one day. In other words, he's making an analogy, not a literal equation. Most of us can't conceive of what the world was like 1,000 years ago, but that is like yesterday to God. And I really like this illustration. Although the gap between our view of time and God's view is far greater, we might compare it to a child's view of time versus an adult's view. When a young child, or when you tell a young child that his birthday is just 1 month away, he doesn't get it.
Every day he will ask, is it my birthday yet? Is it my birthday yet? Is it my birthday yet? Or when you go take a long trip and you tell the kids it's going to be a 12-hour trip, kids, are we there yet? After 30 minutes, are we there yet? Are we there yet? 15 minutes, are we there yet? I don't understand. Are we there yet? In the same way, we can't conceive of a thousand years, but that is only like one day to God. Are we there yet? Well, he has it all under control. A thousand years? Am I going to make it to 80? Steve's going to make it to 80 years old? God knows. Am I going to make it to 60? God knows. Right? It's to us, he's so far beyond us. And please, let's not, as some have done, take this and try to construe it as some new idea or some old-fangled way of explaining theistic evolution and matching it with Scripture. So thoughts from a practical standpoint, bottom of that page, number one, can you have an allegorical interpretation of a word if you do not first have a real established meaning? And no, I don't think that you can. You need to have established meaning. An economist who read this passage was quite amazed and talked to God about it. He said, Lord, is it true that 1,000 years for us is like 1 minute to you? The Lord said, yes. The economist said, then $1 million to us may be like 1 penny to you. Well, yes, said the Lord. The economist said, will you give me one of those pennies? All right, I will. Wait just a minute. The day, then, on page 3, you must first establish its true meaning in order for comparison or contrast. If you go back to creation week, the six days of creation week, Genesis chapter 1, every single time it's set up for us to understand and to get the idea it's a 24-hour literal solar day, every one. If you simply read it the straightforward meaning that God intended it to be, without all the suppositions and presuppositions of those who want to say something different, if you will simply read the Bible and let it speak for itself, it is sufficient. Man's ideology is not sufficient. The Bible is. I'm casting my lot in with the Bible. Not only, number one, can you have an allegorical interpretation of a word if you do not have the first real one? No. And secondly, I believe that 2 Peter 3:8 and Psalm 90 verse 4, for example, cannot be used to support the day-age theory of creation. Adam lived 930 years according to Scripture, not 1930 on day 6 years or 2930 day 7 years. The days of creation week were, I believe, literal 24-hour days. Do you not see when you start straying from that, the ludicrous things? Well, if you say 1,000 years, well, they were 1,000 years. Each day 1,000 years, well then, Adam and Eve were 1,000 years old before they even got out of day 6 to day 7. And they were 2,000 some years old. Do you not understand when you leave the Bible's truths, then you get to nine. Well, the Bible says clearly Adam was 930 years old. So there can't be 1,930 or 2,930. The Bible says it clearly. You can happily go forward if you'll trust the Bible and let it speak for itself each time. You don't have to worry about trying to find, well, what about this? What about that? Well, the Bible says this. And when you start straying from that, you've got all kinds of conundrums you're going to come up against and try jumping through hoops and try to explain this. Let God be God. And let us be the readers of His Word. Peter, what a magnificent epistle it is. We will go into verse 9 that He's not willing that any should perish next time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much that You watch over us and that You have given to us eternal life, and that life is in Your Son. And when we receive You as personal Savior, Lord, I believe the Bible's quite clear that You come into our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit. We repent. We change. Like one direction, completely leave it and go on another direction following You. We are new creatures, new creations in Christ. So, Lord, I pray that You would help us to realize that and to live in light of that. Be with us the rest of this week. Again, be with those possibly injured or in the accident earlier on tonight, that You'd comfort them, those in the hospital, these other men who've been under accident today down in Maysville area. And Lord, give us the safety to go home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.